When atoms learned to think. Everything in the cosmos is either conscious or unconscious. Or, to be more precise about our terms, an object is either participating in the domain of mind, or it isn't. Choosing which is which, however, isn't as easy as it appears. Why do we say the brain is conscious? The brain is made up of ordinary atoms and molecules. Its calcium is the same as the calcium in the White Cliffs of Dover. Its iron is the same as the iron in a twopenny nail. As thinkers, nails and the White Cliffs of Dover aren't famous. But we all accept that the human brain has a privileged place in the universe, meaning that its atoms are somehow unique compared with the same atoms in dead matter. When a molecule of glucose passes through the blood-brain barrier, a cellular gatekeeper that determines which molecules are allowed to pass from the bloodstream into the brain, the glucose doesn't change physically. Yet somehow, it contributes to the processes we call thinking, feeling, and perceiving. How can the simple sugar regularly used to nourish hospital patients through an IV tube learn how to think? That question goes to the heart of the mystery. If all objects in the universe are either part of consciousness or are not, the conscious ones learned how to think. And yet no one has ever explained how this occurred. Really, the whole notion of atoms learning to think is totally irrational. The exact moment when atoms acquired consciousness will never be located. Linking mind and matter has been labeled the hard problem and has become the focus of intense debate. Out of the 118 elements found, only 6 make up 97% of the human body. Carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, phosphorus, and sulfur. If anyone hopes to mix and match these atoms in such a hugely complex way that they suddenly start to think, this would seem like a naive goal. But in essence, that's the only explanation offered for how the human brain became the organ of consciousness. With billions of base pairs contributing to the double helix of human DNA, complexity becomes bewildering enough to serve as a plausible cover for ignorance. Telling which objects are conscious and which are not is very tricky. Calling the entire cosmos conscious is just as plausible as calling it unconscious. The argument can't be settled simply on physical grounds. The mystery boils down to a clear-cut choice. Is the universe made of matter that learned to think? Or is the universe made of mind that created matter? We can call this the divide between matter first and mind first. Although matter first is the default position of science, the quantum century seriously undermined it. One popular view tries to rescue the matter first position by cleverly turning everything into information. We are surrounded by information on all sides. If you receive an email announcing a sale on smartphones, a piece of new information has come your way. Yet the photons that strike your retina as you read the computer screen also carry information, which gets transformed into faint electrical impulses in the brain that are another kind of information. Nothing is exempt. At bottom, anything a person can say, think, or do can be computerized in the form of digital code, using only ones and zeros. A model can be developed where the observer is a bundle of information looking out upon a universe that is an even bigger bundle of information. Suddenly, mind and matter find common ground. Some cosmologists consider this a viable alternative to a conscious universe. All it takes, we are told, is to define consciousness purely as information. An articulate proponent of this view is physicist Max Tegmark of MIT. He begins his argument by dividing consciousness into two problems, one easy the other hard.